Our scripture reading for this evening's lesson is taken from Psalm 137. Psalm 137 and verse number 1. Psalm 137, the Bible says, "By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, yea, we wept when we remembered Zion." Well, once again, we are glad to have you here with us again as we've assembled a second time on the Lord's Day to learn more about Him through His Word. We'll continue our examination of the book of Psalms, and we're taking the Psalms one psalm at a time, and each psalm, each numbered psalm, is its own standalone document. We need to view it as such, and we need to realize, and I think it is very evident with tonight's examination. I don't know how familiar you are with Psalm 137. Psalm 137 is a great historical context to other events that happen in the Bible. That's one of the reasons why I love studying the Psalms. I love history. I have a minor in history. And so to me, history just comes alive. And I always like when I can read maybe a second account, maybe a writing of somebody who was there during important parts in history. And we see that to a degree here in our Psalm tonight. If you're taking notes, this is a great psalm. Brother Tom Holland would appreciate it because all three points start with the same letter. You could title this psalm Regret, Resolve, and Revenge. Regret, Resolve, and Revenge. And that's where we're going to spend our time tonight. But I want you to flip back with me to the book of Deuteronomy as we start tonight, because we need to realize that Israel had been warned. When we read Psalm 137, and we'll do that in a minute, we need to remember that Israel has been warned. Go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 15 through 19. Israel had been warned if they turn against God, they'll have to suffer the consequences. Deuteronomy 30 and verse 15, "See, I have set before thee this day life and good, and death and evil, and that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thy heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day, ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land whithersoever thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against, to record of this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live." You see what's happening here? God says, if you're faithful to me, I'll be faithful to you. And if you transgress me, you'll have to reap those wild things that you sow. Let's now go to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah, the first chapter, and verses 2 through 4. Isaiah 1, 2 through 4. "Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth. The Lord hath spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know my people." Or Israel doth not know, "My people doth not consider. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corrupters. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger, who are gone away backward." When Isaiah is writing 700 years B.C., 700 years before the time of Christ, he is looking out and he is prophetically seeing this vision. Verse 1 tells us that. And what he's seeing is the fact of God's people, how they have turned away from God. Well, let's see what Jeremiah has to add in Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 14 through 16. Jeremiah 1, 14 through 16. "Then the Lord said unto me, Out of the north an evil shall break forth upon all the inhabitants of the land. For lo, I will call all the families of the kingdoms of the north, saith the Lord. And they shall come, and they shall set every one his throne at the entering of the gates of Jerusalem. and against the walls thereof round about, and against all the cities of Judah, and I will utter my judgments against them, touching all their wickedness, who have forsaken me, and have burned incense unto other gods, and worshiped the works of their own hands. He's saying what's going to happen is Israel is going to be taken away by people out of the north. They're going to be thrown into captivity. We call this Babylonian captivity. Let's look at Jeremiah's other book. Let's look at Lamentations very quickly. Lamentation chapter 1, verse 1, and also verses 7 and 8. Lamentation 1, 1. How doth the city sit solitary that was full of people? What's he talking about? He's saying when Jerusalem will be empty. How does the city sit solitary that was full of people? How has she become as a widow? She that was great among the nations and princes, among the provinces, how she has become tributary. Verse 7, Jerusalem remembered in the days of her affliction and of her miseries all her pleasant things that she had in the days of old, when her people fell into the hand of the enemy and none did help her. The adversary saw her and did mock at her Sabbaths. Jerusalem hath grievously sinned. Therefore she is removed. All that honored her despise her, because they have seen her nakedness. Yea, she sigheth and turneth backwards. When Jeremiah has his five chapters of laments, which where we get Lamentations, he sees Jerusalem desolate. He sees Jerusalem empty and he weeps for her, because God's people will be taken away into captivity. Israel had been warned. Also, if you're taking notes, Zephaniah 1, 2 through 7 has similar sentiments, but we're just going to jump back to our psalm. Keep all these passages in mind, because I want us to look at our psalm. Like I said, there are three R's, and so our first R, which is verses 1 through 5, is regret. Join with me as we read Psalm 137, verses 1 through 5. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song. They that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. You see what's happening? You see why it's regret? Verses 1 through 5. We have commentary of people. They're in captivity. How do I know? Because it says they're by the rivers of Babylon. And they're sitting down and they're looking back. The people were taken from the hills of Judea to the plains of Babylon. So their physical surroundings have drastically changed. There were flowing streams of water, and they were fresh water streams in Judea. And Babylon was known for her slow, muddy, murky water, completely different. They had oak trees and hardwoods in Jerusalem in that area, and they have willow trees in Babylon. And so the people could not bring themselves to sing these songs of worship, to sing these joyous songs. We've studied some of the other songs, like the Psalms of Ascent, Psalms 120 through 134, about these psalms that they would sing on the way to Jerusalem, and they were looking forward to go and worship in Jerusalem. We see when they're taken away in captivity, they can't bring themselves to sing these songs because it makes them too upset, because they're no longer in Jerusalem. And for at least a period of 70 plus years, they're not going to make it back. These people are regretting what they've done. They are learning that there are consequences to their actions. You know, the Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews that Moses chose not to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, which tells us that there are some sinful actions when in the moment they may seem pleasurable, they may seem enjoyable, which is why people want to do them repetitively. But they have their consequences. Here, the people in Babylonian captivity, they're reaping what they've been sowing. When they were turning away from the Lord, when they were worshiping other idols, when they were intermingling. Brethren, we must teach people what God's Word has said. If we teach our children that worship is a secondary thing, then we may grow to a time, if God blesses us to live on this earth, where we don't see children coming to worship, where we don't see whole families coming to worship anymore. If we tell preachers and teachers if we say, you know what, don't preach the hard things. Don't preach the fire, hell, and brimstone. Just preach the happy sermons. And you know what? We're going to find a church that doesn't look like church, that doesn't act like church, or act like the Lord's church should. Brethren, we will reap what we sow. We like to think about that in a positive light. You do things good, you'll get good things. But the opposite's true. You do bad things, you'll get bad things. And that's what the people here in Babylonian captivity are realizing, verses 1 through 5, because they're regretting all these wicked things they've done. And no doubt, as every day went by, as their captor said, sing us a song of Jerusalem, they said, we can't. We're in a foreign, we're in a strange land. And they just put their hearts on that willow tree. And they cannot praise the Lord. Let's go to verses 6 and 7. That's where we find our resolve. If I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. If I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy, remember, O Lord, the children of Edom in the day of Jerusalem, who said, raise it, even to the foundation thereof. We'll come back to verse 7 again. But notice, they're resolving. What are they going to remember? He wants to remember. He says, if I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. Do you know the phrase roof of my mouth was in the Bible? Well, it is. Are they going to remember Jerusalem as it has been destroyed? No, probably not. They're going to remember the promises that God made about Jerusalem. You know, when we look back on things in our life, even if something was terrible, we'll try to picture something good about it in our minds. That's just how we work. We don't like to think about sad or bad things. We like to think about happy things. So no doubt they're only going to reflect upon the happy parts. I think about Deuteronomy 18 and verse 15, where the Bible says, the Lord thy God will raise unto thee a prophet out of the midst of thee. Moses is speaking of thy brethren like unto me. They're going to remember passages like that, how a prophet would come out of them. Or Isaiah 2 and verse 2, it shall come to pass in the last days, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains, and all shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. They're going to remember that, how Jerusalem's supposed to be a city set on the hill. Now granted, Isaiah 2 is really picturing a church there in the second verse, but it's made application to the city of Jerusalem itself. They're going to remember that, as opposed to this destroyed place that they have been plucked from. Zephaniah chapter 3, 14 through 17. Sing, O daughters of Jerusalem. Shout, O Israel. Be glad and rejoice with the heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. How about how the Lord has taken away all thy judgments and cast out the enemy. They're going to remember these good things. I think about the New Testament, 2 Peter 1 and verse 12. Peter says, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things. Peter realized that he needed to remind people of both the good and the bad. When Paul writes to Timothy, he says, stir up these things in their mind. They need to be reminded of the good and the bad. But notice, he says, if I don't remember all of Jerusalem, I might as well not be able to speak, because it's very hard to speak if you keep your tongue on the roof of your mouth the whole time. So that is their resolve. If I don't remember it right, Lord, I'm just not going to speak at all. But lastly, we see revenge, and we'll pick back up, reread verse 7 through verse 9. Remember, O Lord, the children of Edom in the day of Jerusalem, who said, raise it, even to the foundation thereof. O daughter of Babylon, who art to be destroyed, happy shall he be that rewardeth thee as thou hast served us. Happy shall he be that taketh and dasheth thy little ones against the stones. One thing we do need to remind ourselves when we look at Hebrew poetry is they will often repeat things for emphasis to draw a better picture of it. This is our third R, and this is the revenge section. It's called an imprecatory psalm, which is a psalm calling for the retribution of his enemies. Now, in the other imprecatory psalms, it's the call of the innocent of God's people to have the wickedness overthrown. But in this psalm, it's the guilty. And they're calling out against the innocent, against Edom, who was rejected over the fall of Jerusalem. Notice he says, O daughter of Babylon, we would be happy if someone would do to you what's happening to us. We'd be happy if someone would cause you to fall, to make you trip on the stones, to make you fail. That's what they're wanting. Flip with me one time to Obadiah, right before Jonah, right after Amos, the little one chapter book. I want us to look at Obadiah verses 10 through 16. Obadiah 10, "For thy violence against thy brother Jacob shall come over thee, and thou shalt be cut off forever. In the day that thou stoodest on the other side, and the day that the strangers carried away captive his forces, and foreigners entered into his gates, and cast lots upon Jerusalem, even thou wast as one of them, but thou shouldest not have looked on the day of thy brother, in the day that he became a stranger, neither shouldest thou have rejoiced over the children of Judah in the day of their destruction, neither shouldest thou have spoken proudly in the day of distress. Thou shouldest not have entered into the gate of my people in the day of their calamity. Yea, thou shouldest not have looked on their affliction in the day of their calamity, nor have laid hands on their substance in the day of their calamity. Neither shouldest thou have stood in the crossway to cut off those of his that did escape. Neither shouldest thou have delivered up those of his that did remain in the day of distress. For the day of the Lord is near upon all the heathen. As thou hast done, it shall be done unto thee. Thy reward shall return upon thine own head. For as they have drunk upon my holy mountain, so all the heathen shall drink continually. Yea, they shall drink, and they shall swallow down. And it shall be as though they had not been." Obadiah, he's a minor prophet, not because he didn't do a whole lot of work, but just because of the content of his message, he's deemed a minor prophet. And he's saying, you shouldn't rejoice when bad things are happening to you, it's going to happen, or when bad things are happening to those around you, it's going to happen to you as well. What do we see here? They're wanting revenge upon their enemies. Now, ultimately, we know the Bible says that vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. But here we see one of the ways that you might could pray for your enemies, is you can pray that they can be defeated. The question then becomes, as we start to wrap up this psalm, how do we view the psalm? Do we view it prophetically? Maybe, maybe not. Do we view it sarcastically? I wouldn't necessarily say sarcastically. The psalmist, whoever's penning this, is really wanting his enemies to be defeated. That's for certain. Perhaps it's not an endorsement of their bitterness. It's not saying it's okay to be bitter. I might say simply Psalm 137 is a record of the bitterness of people who are reaping what they've sown. You people, when they say, you know, I can do bad things, it's never going to come back to bite me, I would have them go to Psalm 137. And say, well, it came back to bite these people. Because we need to be careful how we take these words of bitterness, because we have to view everything in the whole context of the Bible. But I tell you one thing we learn. If we turn away from the Lord's way, we can expect the Lord's wrath. Isn't that what Jerusalem had done? They had turned away from the Lord's way, and they received the Lord's wrath, and they had to pay for their consequences. Friends, if we go against what God has said, we will be sorrowful and we'll be bitter. And in outer darkness, we're going to have weeping and gnashing of teeth. Don't be like those that were carried away in captivity because of their sin. Instead, remove that sin in your life and be faithful unto death. If you've not obeyed the gospel tonight, now we have a perfect opportunity. Brother David and I were discussing, we have warm water, and we are ready to assist you in that. You do that by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, being baptized. Your sins are washed away. Come out of that water grave, a new creature alive in Christ. If you've not done that this evening, why not do so? If you have, keep remaining faithful unto death, receive the crown of life, Revelation 2 and verse 10. But if you're not faithful, but you have put on the name of Christ, you need to come back. Repent of those sins and leave this building in a right relationship with our Lord. If we can help you in any way at all tonight, whatever your need may be, please let it be known while we stand and while we sing.